Beyond the Greedly. Welcome, everyone. It's Sunday, February 12th, and this is episode 134 or 134, like normal people say, of the Omnic Weekly. I am Dee, and this week I'm joined by none other than Hannah.
Hi.
And by the owner of a brand new truck, which he has proven by showing us a picture of him holding the keys in front of said truck. It is LP.
Big country.
Woo! Hello, big country.
Yeah, I've developed an accent ever since I got this new truck, so
now yeah. Oh my goodness, that reminds me though, there's been a huge thing recently in the UK, like on for people in the UK on social media, where we've all suddenly realized like how big American cars are.
Oh, you didn't realize that before?
What?
I think there was like this comment about American cars starting to get too big for parking spaces, and then everyone started comparing like American car sizes to like UK car sizes.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I mean, I think it's super relevant right now because they keep finding these objects flying over Canada and America that are all the size of a car, and us Europeans are thinking, I don't know, like, let's say 6 to 8 meters.
Smart car.
Yeah, and they all are, and they're all going, no, what the hell, man? That is way bigger than a car. No, that is a car, my friend. Yeehaw!
And we're all just like, no, that's a tank.
Yeah, exactly. It's tank-sized object spotted over Canada, not car-sized object. But Oh, that might have been the trigger for that whole discussion. I mean, they've always been known for their big cars. I think that's always kind of here in Belgium, like the thing
I know,
that we've known about.
Like some of the comparison pictures I've seen with like.
Yeah. Hilarious.
Oh.
I need to see this. I'm looking this up. Wow.
Yeah, he's Googling that right now. And then LP comes in with this picture of his new car. And we're like, yep.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we were talking about. That is a tank, my friend.
That is absolutely a tank, my friend.
Yeah, but I shouldn't be talking. I mean, my car is pretty big too. I do have an American taste in cars, I'm going to be honest.
Yes! Yeah, I converted you to the dark side.
Oh, no, dude, I was born converted.
Born driving boats, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. I had my car, I had to go in for repairs, and they gave me this, well, you know, replacement car, and it was way smaller, and I really felt so out of place in this car. I really felt like, you know, like I'm putting on shoes that are like 10 sizes too small. I was hating the whole experience. And then I got back into my big V60, and I was like, oh yes, Bruce, here we go. I call my car Bruce because it looks like the Batmobile. It's like a huge gray sleek. It's amazing. Love my car. Hannah, what the I love that we are talking about cars, and Hannah's like,
I don't drive.
I also want to mention on a side note of cars, well, today's also Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, apparently.
View.
I do this thing where I send out a warning to the team that, okay, guys, we have the podcast is starting in 1 hour, just to make sure everybody's around. And LP comes back with, wait, what? We're doing a recording on Super Bowl Sundays? You Europeans are weird. I'm like, what? Super Bowl what? But yeah, for us, that is quite... But for you guys, that is big, right? It's almost like a national holiday.
It is a pretty much like I would say like the cousin of like a Thanksgiving dinner where everybody gets together at one person's house and the big game is on, food, like, just like, I think my favorite part of just Super Bowl Sunday is seeing like the Super Bowl Sunday dinner spreads where you see like nacho chips and like wings, pizza, like it's like the most wholesome thing, and you're just sitting there like, I gotta up this family, you know, keeping up with the Joneses style.
And isn't it always the moment that the advertisement prices are so high that you always see these very spectacular advertisements in between the different, well, what do you call them, quarters of whatever periods of the match?
Commercials, yep, the quarters. So it's like, you know, companies spend exuberant amounts of money to be just to basically target you, and because they know, like, okay, these commercials are like millions of dollars worth of like slot times. So you're going to get a spectacle.
This is what companies, that's what they do. Oh, wow. And there's this whole show. I remember back in the day, was it with Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake, the whole
thing? That is like so PG compared to like the stuff that happens nowadays. But back then,
yeah, exactly.
It was a shocker.
Oh my God, we almost saw her nipple. And then now we're living in a world where anything goes at this point. Let's
be
honest.
Oh my God, they covered their nipples. Like,
Yeah, so that is going to be a celebration. But what time does it start? It's like 5 p.m. for you guys, right, when that starts?
Oh, it's about 6:30 Eastern.
You still got time. We will get this podcast done in time for you to get boozed up and dive into the nachos. Do you put cheese on your nachos, or are you just like a salsa guy?
Let me just clarify that, you know, when I went to Europe and I had nachos, I was thoroughly disappointed. It is not like the nachos we have in America.
Nachos are like a pale imitation.
They're basically remnants or like a leftover cardboard that we kind of clip in the shape of a nacho.
Melted cheese. Our cheese is like queso. We call it queso. That's how you know it's authentic. When you don't call it cheese anymore or cheese dip, you call it queso.
But okay.
Yes, we go for the zesty.
I know you're taking notes. We need to.
I am. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I've never had American nachos. I've never had nachos when I was in the States. I always get distracted by the Sour Patch Kids and whatnot. it almost claims all my attention when I'm there when it comes to food. It's Sour Patch Kids everywhere. That's all I can see. But I'll have to give it a try. No, I do have to agree. Our nachos, like if you go to a movie theater here in Europe and you order nachos, you're kind of robbing yourself.
It's
embarrassing. We do have other good stuff though, but that's for another episode. Let's just maybe get started on the Overwatch stuff. How about damn apples?
That's right. This is an Overwatch podcast.
Exactly. I mean,
allegedly,
we're only 7 minutes in, so we're quite early with our Overwatch talk.
Yeah, it's a bit early to be talking about Overwatch on this Overwatch podcast, is it not?
It usually takes us 10 minutes to get into the topic. But anyways, I think it is quite an important week. Season 3 has officially started. I don't know why I said officially, because there's not an unofficial start of a season, so that doesn't make any sense. But how you guys been enjoying the season?
I've been playing.
I know. I've seen you come online. I was streaming and I saw your name pop up and I was like, wait, what? What is this witchery? Now, how you been enjoying it, Hannah?
I have been enjoying it a lot. My God, I much prefer there not being a map pool. Holy shit.
There is still a map pool, Hannah. Sorry to disappoint you.
Nice to be playing maps that I haven't played for a while because they were there because of the map pool.
Yeah, no, I understand. You've missed some of the maps.
Yeah.
I mean, like one map that they brought back that I was really happy with, and it kind of goes back to our episode from last week, is Numbani.
Oh, I know. And they bloody fixed it.
Exactly. Hey! We talked about it last week. Like, when are they going to get around to fixing that? Maybe they should put some resources on fixing that map. And it turned out they did. And then they pulled it. Then they removed it again because apparently there's a bug, an issue with the map that they're trying to figure out. So,
I found a bug on the new map.
Tell us. I'm curious.
You can get stuck in spawn.
Sounds like a great...
There's like a pile of like metal like girders or something in one of the corners in spawn, and you can stand on it, but if you like slip behind it because there's like a really small gap, you get stuck. And the only reason why I was able to get out is because I could phase out as Moira.
Oh yeah.
But I couldn't walk out.
And have you reported the bug?
No.
We just talk about it on the podcast and just
I'll
be
talk about listening. It on the podcast and then they'll hear the podcast and then it'll get fixed.
Sorry to disappoint you, but I don't think anybody at Blizzard listens to this podcast. But let's see. Let's find out. If it gets fixed, like and there's like a little post-it note where
saying
the bug used
Hannah.
To be. Yeah. you know they listen. That happens with these new maps. I mean, there have been quite a few bugs in season 3. again.
I mean, honestly, like, one tiny corner in Spawn isn't, like, something I'm super mad about.
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed that Numbani got pulled, though. I mean, I really liked that map. I was quite happy that I was looking forward.
I was actually, so happy too. To have it back.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially, like, they fixed it. So I wanted to find, because I noticed I did a fly through of the map really quickly to make a screenshot of the airport. But I was like, let me quickly fly around. I'll get to check everything more in detail later. Yeah, I guess not. But it looked like they put in a lot of extra obstacles to kind of help both the attackers and the defenders out. And but yeah, we'll have to wait till it comes back. Hopefully that will happen somewhere in the next 2 weeks, I'm hoping. We'll see.
I will say, I do love that, like, now in competitive play, you know, you could view your competitive progress with a little competitive progress button. And, you know, you can see and view the progress towards receiving the next rank update. That was something that was, like, very useful when I played, for just complaining that you didn't have that.
And I feel like overall with competitive, I've not been playing myself because, yeah, I don't get around to playing competitive, especially not in the first weeks. Because there's always a lot of content to make, and the only chances I get to play is on stream. And then, I've talked about this. But I do feel like a lot of people were, there were a lot of people complaining against competitive. I see a shift where it's still divided. Not everybody is happy with the experience, but more people are happy with the experience. So we're starting to see a shift when it comes to competitive. But clearly there are still a few issues. But overall with the UI, they did some interesting changes. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but some of the indicators, for instance, for turrets, or they all kind of changed some colors to draw your attention to it, which is interesting. They did some changes to the hero gallery UI to split things up. So like weapon charms and souvenirs are not stacked on each other. I mean, they did a lot of like small things that end up making quite a difference, in my opinion. So I do enjoy when they start changing things like that. What do you think about the battle pass, by the way? Because now we got a view of the whole battle pass. We had seen some
things. I'm a lot happier with it than I was in the past. I do like that, you know, there's now credits, not coins, but credits in the pass. That's quite nice. I also really like that, you know, you can now use credits to buy legacy skins.
Yep. Yeah, apparently before you couldn't buy all of them, but that should be fixed since
yesterday.
No,
you couldn't before, because remember I had that issue with the D.Va skin and I was really, really mad about it. But now I've got it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, but even at the start of the week, there were some skins that were not available, but apparently they fixed it yesterday. I've seen some people complain, though, and this is the weirdest complaint ever, but we're getting back into the tinfoil hat territory here, but if you might have noticed that in the battle pass, the colors for the credits, the icon usually is colored white in other places in Overwatch 2, and in the battle pass, they colored it gold.
And yeah, I do think they need to kind of... it's kind of part of the reason why I specified credits, not coins, was because I was a bit confused at first about what currency I was actually getting. I think they need to make that a bit clearer, but I don't think that's a tinfoil hat theory. I think that's
an
just
aesthetic choice.
We didn't think about it properly theory.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was just basically a color choice that they made aesthetically, and then,
because in all fairness, the currency used to be gold, so...
Yeah, and Overwatch 1, it was. I can understand that. But some people are claiming that they're doing this deliberately to kind of give people the feeling that they're getting the premium currency while they're getting legacy currency. I'm like, all right, guys, don't push it too far. I mean, what is going to be the result of them bamboozling you? Nothing, because in the end, you don't have the currency, so... It's not going to motivate you to buy the other currency. I guess it might if you get
excited because you think you have enough to buy something and then you don't. But
no, it is confusing. But I think, like you said, I don't think they did it deliberately. I think they just didn't kind of
think about it.
Yeah, I think it through. That would be an issue. Come on. And I mean, there are some of these very oddly specific things and these weird twists. that only pop up once you get like thousands and thousands of people kind of using your product. And you're like, oh yeah, okay, I didn't think about that. And
you yeah, just, it's like, hey. You know, you've got a group of people bouncing ideas off of each other. That's great. But if none of the, if five people don't think about it, you know, one of the thousands of people playing your game will.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, yeah. And I mean, thousands, I think at this point, millions. Have you seen the numbers that they released with the quarterly shareholder update? The no. amount of money that Overwatch made? $100 million since release.
Nice. Only $100 million since release?
Sorry. That's more than Overwatch 1 ever made in within a quarter. So. I've always said that while they might not be doing good on their reputation financially, they're not going to be doing bad right now. And they might be doing better if they... they're definitely going to be doing better as they change things. It's only going to go up. It's only going to get people back and spend more money. So I think they're pretty set when it comes to money for now. We'll see how long that lasts, of course. Other than that, like one of the things I enjoy about the Battle Pass, I feel like overall the skin quality is better. Also, the deal that they did with the premium, while the skip levels got enhanced a little bit because they added the skin on top of it, I feel they're putting a lot more value in every section of the Battle Pass for the same price, which is an understandable approach. I mean, if you can keep your prices as they are, but just add extra items to it, it should be a win-win for everybody. I mean, there's always people that can't afford it, and that is very sad, or that don't want to spend that money on anything, as long as certain people are in that CEO seat, which is also very sad.
Because I really want that bee skin.
Oh, it does look good.
Yeah.
And I'm like £8 for the skin and some coins, and I'm like, maybe, and then I'm like, no, I can't. I really want it, but I can't do it. And that charm. That weapon charm is so cute.
It is very cute.
Help me.
Yeah, I know. It's very cute. Would you feel just as bad if someone gifted it to you?
I don't know.
Think about it, okay?
Okay.
But no, overall, I feel like the quality of the skins is. I mean, there's only a few that I don't care about. There's so many that...
Oh, and the Moira skin, the Demon Queen skin.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
it's not a bad skin, but guess which one is my favorite out of the whole Battle Pass?
I'm not sure. What is your favorite skin in the whole Battle Pass?
And I'm glad that it's already like at the first level. It's the Junker Queen Black Metal skin, man. It looks.
Of course.
She has the axe. She is, oh my god, the whole, she has this one emote that is as metal as it gets. I mean, it's not black metal. I don't want to be that guy, but
be that guy.
It's trash metal. It's not black metal, but it's just still awesome. Someone commented, I did this post about it, and someone commented, isn't that a bass guitar? And it actually is. Don't tell them. I think in the future they don't have strings anymore on guitars. But there's so many awesome skins, so many things that I'm kind of looking forward to unlock. I think with the credits that they added, it also kind of, I think it just hides a lot of the things that I'm not, hides rather the things that I'm not too interested in, because like every time you get credits, you also get something
you
else.
You also get something with it, which I didn't notice at first. Then I was like, wait,
they put the credits. They put them front and center, and all these. I mean, I'm not too much into, especially not sprays, although they added a whole bunch of new Yakemon icons and sprays.
Yakemon they did.
That's my spray, man. That's the only spray I've used in the last few years. So.
I know.
I have to diversify now. But yeah, I feel like I'm quite happy with the Battle Pass. And I think there's always room for improvement.
I think the
numbers could still go up. I think more credits, they will end up raising the number of credits that we get. I think that is going to be happening. Maybe not next season, but somewhere in the future for sure. I think that is definitely going to be something that they're going to change. Yeah,
I mean, it would be nice if it wasn't just credits, but if they sprinkled some coins in there as well.
I mean, I do think that they have like a priority list of things that they are willing to change, but that they kind of want to see the reaction of the community first. They are still running a business, so.
No, I know, but
I mean,
some.
One thing they should be aiming for is to get people that that played, that finished the battle pass, that they should be able to buy the next premium battle pass. And that be basically people, because I don't think that the biggest part of their income is from the 10 bucks of the battle pass. I think the biggest income they get is from people buying the bundles, the skins and whatnot. I think that is going to be, I'm not sure, but that's my gut feeling, that that is going to be the biggest part of their
income. Like, you know, you buy your first battle pass and then you can earn the rest.
Yeah, as long as you kind of keep finishing. Yeah, as long as you keep finishing your battle pass, which shows that you're dedicated to the game, that you get rewarded by the with the next battle pass. And if you miss a season, well, tough luck. But I do think that might be a system. That's a system that a lot of other games kind of use. And I think that would be something to kind of, that they still can budge on. I don't see them adding a lot more just premium currency for people to buy a skin, for instance, every season.
No, but to be honest, it was like the next battle pass that I was thinking of.
Yeah. No, I think
rather
that is
than like, give me money to buy a skin.
Yeah. I mean, there's still people that feel like that they should just give us like 3,000 of these premium currency coins every season. I'm like, you guys just want everything for free, right? That's what you're aiming for. But these people still need to make money. I mean, Bobby.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's jobs. Very, I'm quite happy at the moment that I can buy a legacy skin on the freemium pass.
Yeah. I keep adding some of the old, like, maybe at season 6 or something, the season 1 skins to the legacy.
Yeah, because that was going to be my next point, is that eventually I'm going to run out of legacy skins to buy. Then what?
Yeah, you can't keep counting on these Overwatch 1 skins. At some point, everybody's going to own all of them. So
yeah,
that's bound to happen at some point.
You know, there's already, like, at the moment, I don't particularly care for the current Twitch drops because I've already got the Ash skin.
As do a lot of people, indeed.
Yeah.
But that is slowly going to fade out. I mean, that's what they said, too, is that they are aiming at giving us unique rewards for all of these wonder events and drop events and whatnot. Mm. So we'll see. All in due time. It takes time to change. I mean, you can't just, I've seen a lot of people complain why they're postponing some of these changes to season 4, because there is an order to things. Development product, or rather digital product development, does require some kind of planning. Otherwise, you're just kind of making a little ball of code, and then it's going to break apart at some point.
Yeah, remember, go back to previous episode, listen to our chat about spaghetti code.
Exactly.
It's not great.
Yeah, you don't want that.
You don't want the mess that is Final Fantasy 14 and Overwatch
exactly,
2.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
Jeez Louise, the spaghetti code in that game. Oh, well, yeah, technically your umbrella is a mount. What?
Technically your umbrella is a mount.
Yep, awesome. Fashion accessories are technically mounts, which is why you can't hold an umbrella and sit on a horse at the same time.
Well, look, Mary Poppins used it as a way of transportation, so
yeah,
it
I know,
make sense.
But this is just pure spaghetti code.
Yeah, mistakes were made. Mistakes were
you
made.
Can't, you also can't talk to NPCs while mounted because spaghetti code.
Jesus Christ.
So the best they could do for us was if you click on an NPC, it takes you off your mount.
Yeah. I think they do the same thing in Warcraft, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but it took them, like, 4 years to put that in the game.
But exactly, I mean, that is the thing
because
that you don't want.
Because spaghetti code.
Yeah, you don't want to bump into these types of issues. No. So give him some time. But we were talking about Bobby and his boat earlier. Have you seen that he's doing a bit of a tour as we approach that June close date on the deal with
Microsoft? My God, have you seen him, like, throwing his...
shade?
Throwing his toys out of the pram this week.
Yeah, towards the UK.
I've been talking to Sony and I've been calling them and they just won't answer. I will stay in power if the Microsoft deal falls through.
Wait, what? Did he say that?
Yes.
Oh, God.
What?
He has said that this week.
He has said that. Yeah, that is a threat. That is a direct threat.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows. He knows that people want him to leave, so he's using it. No, but yeah, he's been lashing out at a lot of people. He's also been going around and explaining that, Sony is the number one force to reckon with in the gaming industry, and they are the ones that own the most IP, and that we need to let this deal between Microsoft and Activision. Blizzard would kind of be a way to push back towards that dominance of the Chinese and the Japanese companies on the market and whatnot. I mean, there is some truth to it, but it's just him using, basically grabbing at everything and throwing it into the battle. But to be honest, I'm still convinced
like
that it is
going to
happen.
Feeling slightly irrelevant this week and decided to just say a load of shit to get some attention.
That might be exactly it. Because to be honest, I'm not too worried that it's not going to go through. I've said it before. All these companies are just trying to get some guarantees to get their names into those final agreements so they can take a piece of the pie that they can basically blackmail them into getting some stuff. Because, yeah, I think there's not much that can be done to stop it. And it would be bad for Activision Blizzard if it didn't go through at this point.
It would be bad for my health too.
Yeah, it would be bad for a lot of people's health. I think I'm not even kidding. I think you would see another basically wave of people just leaving the company and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of them are kind of done, and they're just holding their breath till June. And
they're hoping for Bobby to be gone.
Yeah, exactly. So if that doesn't pan out, that would be bad news for a lot of people, including ourselves. But I'm not too worried just yet. I mean, it's getting close, though. June is not that far off. We always feel like we still have like half a year to go, but mid-February. So it's approaching fast.
Mm.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Anyways, one really exciting thing that we've seen in Season 3 and that we touched on last week, I think, too, but are the crossovers. Now, yesterday or the day before, they also showed off a second skin. So we got the Doomfist. I don't remember. I'm not too familiar with One Punch Man, so I don't remember the character's name. Saitama. Saitama, okay. But then we got Moomin Rider Soldier 76.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the skin, guys?
It's not my personal jam, but I think what they're doing is really exciting. So.
Yeah. I like this collaboration. I mean, some people said that. Didn't they do a collaboration with Lego? But
yeah, but that's more of a, I don't feel like that is a collaboration. That's more of a commercial deal, in my opinion. I mean, it's a thin line.
Yeah.
It feels like a branding thing. And this is really like two IPs, like two fandoms being brought together.
Yeah, they officially, in their blog, they officially called it their first IP collaboration.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a lot of people were worried that Overwatch might turn out to become this Fortnite thing where basically Darth Vader would be fighting Goku from Dragon Ball Z or something, and they definitely made a point out of explaining that their premium concern, their most important concern, is to keep the identity of our heroes, the Overwatch heroes, intact, and that they're basically kind of looking at this as being costumes, so that we shouldn't expect all these kind of crazy we can expect some more crazy crossovers, but they'll always kind of be
yeah, the same they said they wanted to find that line where you could see both characters. That it wouldn't be like just the main hero from One Punch Man. It would be, like you said, a costume.
Yeah. And I think they kind of struck that balance with what we've seen up till now for this One Punch. The heroes still have their own voice. They still have a lot of their own animations. They have their own skill sets. In Fortnite, for instance, if you select them, basically in Fortnite, all you can do is shoot. So let's be honest, shoot and throw stuff. It's not like there's a lot to work with at that point. But I think the fact that Overwatch is so specific and everybody has their own skills, I think it's a safe bet. I think it's going to be pretty easy to make these costumes and give him something, some unique elements that tie into a I really hope they do that one thing, you know, the one punch animation that we saw in the trailer,
where
everything kind of lights up really hard. That we get to see that one and a highlight intro or something like that, which probably is going to be the case. But other than that, I think it should be pretty good. What is like the number one thing that you guys want to see?
What, like in the prolab?
Yeah. No, and any, like, what is the crossover that, like, that would get you all excited?
Ooh. That's an interesting question. I think I'd love to see Lord of the Rings collabs, especially with, like, I don't know, characters like Hanzo, or just, like, since we have a lot of weapons in the game that are kind of, like, almost medieval-ish, like axes.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of interesting.
Right? That would be very cute. I would die. I would pay so much to get those skins.
Gandalf. Frodo.
Yeah, Reinhard Gandalf.
Yeah. Reinhard Gandalf. That would be so epic. Or it would be more like Ramatra Gandalf. If you
know. It would, to be fair. But then you get, like, the world's punchiest Gandalf, which is hilarious.
No, I think they would give it to Sigma. I think Sigma is kind of their character. Like, with the astral skin that they did right now, he kind of looks like Gandalf already. Like the
And his little constellation emote.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Reinhard would be more of an orc guy.
Yeah.
Or, no, one of the what did they call it? Like
the Uruk-hai.
Yeah. No. No. But the ones that in the Hobbit get turned into stone because they keep them busy till the sun comes up. The ogres.
Trolls.
Oh, the trolls. It's trolls. Yeah. Yeah. It's trolls. Yeah. Trolls. Yeah. That would be a good fit for good old Reinhard. And then you have some hobbits. Oh, that's going to be a difficult one to decide on who. Well, maybe there's going to be a
short...
I was just going to say, maybe they'll make a short character with a beard. And oh no, wait, Thorbjorn has to be Gimli, right?
Yeah.
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah. Well, he already kind of has a Gimli. One of the Warcraft skins has a bit of a Gimli vibe. The dwarf leader from World of Warcraft. His name escapes me, but. Anyways, yeah, that would be interesting. That would definitely be interesting. Like, mine would be, I would love to see, like, a Batman-themed, like, Joker, Poison Ivy, the Batman himself, Robin. I think that would be very nice costumes. And both, like, the old 60s Batman and the modern Batman would kind of fit really well.
Oh, that would be very cool.
Right, and I know it's up to you. Me and LP kind of threw our ideas out there.
You've done some two really cool ones, and now I have to try and come up with something.
Yeah. Well, while you think about this, let me maybe highlight.
I don't know any franchises. I've never been outside before.
No, that's exactly it. It's because we don't come outside that we know all these franchises. It works the other way around. But you know, while you think about it, let me hit LP up with the Overwatch League news that we got this week. I mean, he's our esports expert right here. LP, you need to explain something to me. That whole what is it called? Pro-Am tournament.
Oh my god, the Pro-Am tournament.
What is that about?
So it's basically getting obviously pros versus amateurs. It's going to be one of the most epic, I guess, Western qualifiers. But, we're going to see basically like North America, Europe, Middle East, Africa advance. Or going, basically, those are the selected countries, compete for a prize pool of $100,000. Now,
oh, that's not bad.
This is awesome. This is awesome because we haven't seen announcements like this since like 2019, right, y'all?
Yeah.
But the format is pretty much like open signups, right? You start off there, then you go to stage one, which is open if you move on from the open signups. Then stage two is a double elimination. And then finally, you go to the Overwatch League program where you compete for the $100,000 prize pool.
I didn't even realize that Pro-Am was pro amateurs. See? I was like, what's Pro-Am? What the frick is Pro-Am? But it's kind
now
of interesting. Yeah, but now we know. But it is kind of interesting to bring in all these contenders versus the Overwatch League. Because let's be honest, I think some of the contender teams have former league players in them. And I think some of these teams could take on an Overwatch League team pretty easy. I think there are some really good contender teams. So that is going to be interesting. It will, I think, this is going to be one of the first times that we see that dynamic of, yeah, there's two different groups meeting. I mean, the only other chance that we get is basically the World Cup.
I'm excited. I think it elevates competition, you know?
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting year for esports in general with the return of the World Cup, what you're doing with competitive, well, with the Overwatch League and this pro-amateur tournament. Everybody, remember, pro-amateur. It's going to be kind of interesting to see. And they are going back to the same system like they did last year with the tournament. So that is kind of interesting. I mean, have all the teams settled by now? Or I didn't know. No. When was the due date to kind of have their teams sorted?
That's a great question. Due date, apparently it was February 8th.
Okay.
For the West.
Okay. I mean, now we're going to slowly start seeing the build up, and we're going to. It is not going to be long. It's less than 6 weeks before the Pro-Am tournament starts, and then it's going to be a roller coaster ride all the way to October. Now, what I've seen is that are they going to?
It turns out that March 2nd and 4th is when the stage one, the Swiss stage, happens. So there'll be about 256 teams that will be signing up or eligible to register. And then we go into double elimination, which is March 5th through the 12th. Wow, this narrows it down to 16 teams, right? Finally, right? We get to
that is going to be a huge. There's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be disappearing from that. That's kind of interesting. But are the grand finals going to be in October again? That's what I saw, and I was kind of confused by that because they're doing the World Cup in October and they're doing the finals for the Overwatch League in October.
Correct. Yes. So that's going to be a really awesome. That's going to be awesome month in October for both the Overwatch League.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot. That's probably all going to come together at the BlizzCon, right? That's going to be the moment that they. That's going to be
crossing
intense.
My fingers.
I mean, for the players, that must be kind of complicated. They might be playing for their team one day and the next day for their country. Okay, we'll see how that pans out. I'm kind of curious. All right. Yeah, it's going to be an exciting year. There's a lot of stuff coming for esports in general when it comes to Overwatch. And I've said it before. I think every year it becomes more important to kind of get that hype back because I think there's been a lot of rumors, a lot of negative news going around. I think Overwatch needs, when it comes to esports, needs that little bump, a little shake up, a little kick in the booty. We'll see. Hannah?
Yeah?
Coming back to you. I haven't forgotten about you.
Oh, God.
Come on, there must be something.
You know what, actually? There is, and it's something I've thought about before.
Okay.
And it seems really obvious, and I don't know why I didn't, mention it like 5 minutes ago. But like a Final Fantasy style crossover with sort of like the class based outfit. So obviously you've got Mercy as like a white mage, and then you could have Reinhardt as the warrior tank with like the axe instead of the hammer and sort of like fur trimmed. Right. And
body ears on everybody.
As a black mage with a little witchy hat.
I could definitely see that. We'll see. I mean, I think we have some very different ideas, the three of us. Let's see which one of us three ideas. So we have Lord of the Rings, Batman, and Final Fantasy. Which one gets picked up first? We're going to be sitting here in like 10 years going, aha!
It was my idea they took.
Yeah. They did it. I was right all along. And the rest of us are going to be what? I don't remember us talking about this. Anyways, there is one crossover that already is in the game that not a lot of people have noticed, but apparently there's a Candy Crush crossover in the game already. There's a weapon charm that looks like the candy bomb from Candy Crush.
Oh, God.
So basically, everybody's mom is now going to understand about Overwatch. Their favorite game is now in Overwatch. So, you have something to talk about with your parents. Well, your parents, your mom. I don't know how many dads play Candy Crush. That's
the best collab ever.
Yeah. The next week is going to be interesting. We're going to have the start of the Valentine event. We have the Cupid skin for Hanzo that is going to be in a bundle. It's going to be for sale.
Bloody dating sim.
Yeah. I've seen some screenshots fly by. I don't know if they were fan-made or official ones. I just saw them fly by. And it looks kind of funny. I'm really curious to see how that is going to be. It's probably going to be an experience that you go through in 10 minutes. And then you have a few choices.
No, they said it would take about 20 to half an hour to get through a playthrough.
Oh, look at that. They're going to make you work for that. What was it, the highlight intro that you would be getting?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you get the secret ending, that
is. Get the secret ending. So I'm assuming you have to do both.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. And there's going to be a limited time game mode that is, what was it?
Hanzo on Hanzo,
yeah,
I believe.
Four versus four Hanzo, and it had a really, I can't remember the name, but it sounded like something with geometry. And I was like, oh shit. Hanzo and geometry, I'm going to suck at this game mode.
Simple geometry, oh ho ho, flashback.
I don't know what the mode it was called exactly. Do you remember, Anna?
No, but I remember thinking, is that a reference to Scattershot?
Probably. I think I wrote it down somewhere, but yeah, anyway.
I just remember thinking, is that a reference to Scattershot?
Most likely. I mean, I've seen some. There was a promo image that went around, and you had this. I think it was a victory pose of him hanging off a rope. In a Cupid pose, which is kind of funny looking. I think it's just going to be a fun little event. And I wouldn't expect too much of the game mode. I think it's going to be
Love of Geometry is what it's called.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, Love of Geometry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like a dating sim.
Yeah, well, it's a Valentine. I mean, we kind of predicted that there would be a Valentine event, and we got that right. But yeah. Nobody could have expected to see the game mode attached to it. But I kind of like it. I hope. And we know that for the Pachi Marchi event that they're bringing back, they also have a game mode.
Yeah.
And that's basically all we can... I mean, we've talked about this, but their philosophy on events in Overwatch 2 is that they want to do way more of them, but they want to make them smaller, less impactful as the previous ones. But if they keep adding these limited-time game modes to every of the events, I mean, that's just fine. Bring it. I mean, that is kind of fun to do. It's a nice distraction. It's not like you're going to be playing that mode for 2 weeks. Some people definitely will.
Yeah.
But most people won't. And the fact that they acknowledged one of our points of feedback that we discussed in this podcast is that you need to, well, if there's an event going on, you need to, all the challenges are kind of tuned around that event. So you basically need to play that event at that point. You don't want to
play
the
event.
Yeah. And that's something they're going to change in the future. So they're going to add other challenges that don't really need you to play the event to advance in the progress for that event, which is, I mean, I know it sounds like we're being picky or whatnot, but that's the way you include everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Just by kind of opening it up. So, I mean, I think it's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to come up with that event. And what the rewards are going to be. We know about the Hanzo skin, but there's going to be two epic skins. I mean, an easy choice would be Mercy.
Yeah.
I don't think they should bring back the pink Mercy, though. For that event. Yeah. That would be bad. That was a legendary, by the way, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that's not going to happen.
It is a legendary.
Yeah. I actually had a person commenting on one of my videos where I used the pink Mercy, asking me what skin that is. So we're going into a phase. We're going to into a generation of Overwatch players that
never even saw it.
Wow.
That never even saw it. Yeah. Pink Mercy is becoming a memory at this point. I mean, there's still plenty of people that have it, but I mean, we've talked about this. They should bring it back in its in the way it was used all those years ago as a way of making money for a good cause and whatnot. But we're not going to go too deep on that. We're talking about Valentine. So what other characters would you put a Valentine skin on? I think Torbjorn would be funny.
Torbjorn would be hilarious.
Yeah.
Eno could go right up there with his sexy beach skin.
I mean, that is still the best skin in game. There's no way you can change my mind. If they would make like a sexy
Torbjorn. You know what? I was talking to my friend about this the other day. Grillmaster is still one of my favorite skins of all time.
That is a good skin.
Oh, you know what would be a good one? I think Echo is like a rose, a Valentine's rose or something.
Oh, I think just giving her a Valentine skin would be really sweet in general because she's so sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and she is a... I mean, a lot of Echo mains are kind of looking for some more, how do you say that, unique skins. I think she's a really difficult character to make a skin for. I don't think she's easy because of her distinct shape.
No, but you know, she does have some really great skins. Like, she's got the bat one, she's got the doll one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the doll one is kind of creepy.
It's so creepy, but so good.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out on Tuesday. That is going to be a Valentine to remember in Overwatch. And then it's going to be the start of another roller coaster ride.
Yeah, I hope they give Junkrat one because of the phrase love bombing.
I mean, that is always the funny thing. If they start doing these characters like Torbjorn, Junkrat, the people that you least expect to be romantic in a way, become. I mean, Reinhardt, that's one character in Paladins that kind of is based on Reinhardt. I don't remember his name, but his key art is basically like a Spanish Reinhardt with a rose in between his teeth, something like that. Like, that is the...
Oh, Matt, he would. Reinhardt so would.
Yeah. But I think it's a little too obvious.
I'm thinking about his, you know, the sort of the dance that he does.
Yeah.
But now I'm thinking about it with a rose in between his teeth.
Yeah, and after that, we're going to get the One Punch Man event, where we still... I don't know how many skins they have planned for that, but apparently there should be more skins coming.
There should be some.
Yeah, and for up till now, we don't know that much apart from the fact that there's going to be two skins. That's about all we know for now. And after that, there's going to be Pachimachi, and at that point, we're going to be talking about the next hero for Overwatch. So it's going to it's going to keep rolling. There's so much coming. There's so much that is going to happen in there.
Busy time.
Yeah. And I'm kind of happy to see you playing again, Hannah. That you're kind of enjoying it.
Yeah. Apart from today. Oh my goodness. So I'd said to a friend that I would like hop on for a bit because she was playing.
Okay.
Because she's now back into it because she came to visit me and I was like, you know, Overwatch season 3 starts today, right? So we both started playing again. But you know, like she said to me that she was playing and I said, yeah, I'll hop in. But she was like, I came on just as she found a game, so I was watching from the very, very start, and she was playing Kiriko, because, you know, when you play as all roles, you get support.
Yeah, of course. So, that's what, Flex is support, yeah.
Yeah. Although I kept getting DPS the other day, it was so fucking weird. and she was basically having to solo heal. 3 minutes in, the Baptiste had 321 healing.
What the hell?
Five minutes in, he still only had 321 healing.
What was he doing?
I don't know.
I mean, I've had a similar experience, like with the Lucio. And I mean, okay, Baptiste, if you're doing low healing on Baptiste, it means that you're just not healing and that you're not shooting your grenades at the
defender. It means you're not pressing your buttons because he has the AoE heal as well.
But if
so
you don't...
even if you just randomly press buttons, I think you will do more healing on Baptiste than this guy was.
But yeah, but same with Lucio. Like with Lucio, I mean, as soon as you go to your healing music, you should be healing everybody that close. Even if you don't want to, people will get healed by you.
Yep.
I don't know what this guy was. He wasn't doing damage either. That was the thing. So I was really close to asking him if he was a new player or that he had hit his head so hard that he don't know how to play the game anymore.
And like the he was using his immortality field.
For himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's classic.
He still had less damage than Kiriko.
Kiriko's
even
doing
though
okay.
She had like 4 or 5k healing.
Yeah. Kiriko is doing okay now with the
Kiriko died, and then Baptiste got an extra 600 healing on the Reinhardt. And then it stopped.
Yeah.
And it was so bad that the tank left, and as the spectator, I was shoved in as tank.
Oh, yeah.
Healing to be found.
Yeah. Yeah, that's frustrating. That's really frustrating.
He switched Zen, didn't give me a ball.
I mean, we need to realize that there's a lot of new people coming in that don't understand the game. What doesn't make sense is that we as veteran players are being grouped up with these people.
No.
But that what often happens makes, because they
yeah, I
because they're in a group with other people.
Yeah. To me, what doesn't make sense is that I feel like to get that lower score and then suddenly heal when your co-healer dies, you're doing it on purpose.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. I think when one healer dies, the other one will do more healing because there's more room to heal. But if the healing is so low, yeah, it's on purpose. To be honest, when I said that like earlier, I just realized that instance with the Lucio, the enemy team had a Kiriko that did just as little healing. So that makes me think that Blizzard knew that either teams had someone new that didn't know what they were doing. And they pitched their team against each other like, okay, you guys can figure it out.
Like, oh, that's, you know, yes, there's a support on that team that doesn't know what they're doing, but there's also a support on each team that does. Therefore, exactly. Even.
Yeah, that might have been it. That might have been
I should have checked the other team, actually. I was just fascinated by a Baptiste that had, like, 321 healing for a good 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But you have to be actively not pressing your buttons.
No, you really need to be just dedicated to being a DPS or just doing nothing and standing in a corner picking your nose.
Yeah.
Get that low amount of healing. It's but insane.
Moving enough that you don't get kicked for being AFK.
Yeah, yeah.
they should have like a, if you don't heal enough, you get AFK.
That should actually be a thing. Exactly.
There's no baseline of healing.
Yeah, I guess, like I said, probably new players or someone that was so drunk that they had the keyboard backwards and it took him like 50 minutes.
You know, and I've seen and noticed people that are perhaps newer to the game because, you know, they'll use their abilities, but you'll be like, the timing for that is way off. But then you're like, oh, you're still getting used to using them. That's fine. But to not be using any buttons at all.
I mean, if you're coming from Call of Duty, you're like, wait, what? I can do what? Excuse me? I can throw grenades that heal? Oh, you must be lying to me. Okay. I'll just stand here and shoot.
The thing that really got me was that he suddenly like tripled his healing output.
Yeah, as soon as the other healer died.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is still a thing. If you queue up as a support, the chances of getting a game instantly are pretty high.
Yeah.
There are still a lot of people that abuse that system to get in there. Still happens way too much, but it is what it is. And I mean, support is more than just healing. Let's be clear on that. But
no, it is. It is.
When it comes to Baptiste, then you would suppose that you're doing enough damage to kind of help people out. I mean, on Lucio, it's different because Lucio also brings a lot of quality by helping position enemy players, by saving friendly players, by using his boop in the right time. There's a lot of things you can do as a Lucio. As a Baptiste, you have a lot of choices.
Kicking people off the point so you win overtime.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, stalling. Stalling has become one of my specialties. Like, just hiding I would need to add, it would be kind of cool if you could broadcast that music into the game, but I need the Benny Hill sound sometimes as I'm kind of spinning around an objective or around a payload and the enemy team is trying to catch me to kill me. It's hilarious at times, like five people chasing me and not managing to kill me because I'm just kind of hiding behind the payload the whole time. It becomes this weird game of tag with five really exotic characters. It's just fun. By the way, we were talking about Kiriko earlier, but one thing I forgot to talk to you guys about are the Kiriko mythic skins, the variations.
Oh my god, it's gorgeous. They've definitely upped the quality, I think, from season 2.
Yeah, I think they were closer to... Actually, they might even be better than the Genji choices. Some are. I mean, like the big hairdo and some of the options that you have. On the other hand...
You can change your hair, you can change your crown.
Yeah. I did... feel like the Genji skin had more. They changed the shape of Genji himself a little more. They kind of pushed that character a little more to a different direction. While this is still Kiriko, very clearly, but the options you have are very distinct, like very different from each other. So it's in a different approach. It is kind of at the same level as Genji is, but different. Which is
very pretty.
It is pretty, yeah.
And I love the artwork.
Yeah, that one artwork where the three of them are kind of floating, kind of dancing in midair is quite beautiful.
Oh my god, I love that so much. Yeah. Whoever drew that, thank you. You've made my life better.
It is one thing that I've seen a lot of comments on is the fact that it is, of course, one of the new characters again. Like we had the Junker Queen last season, this season Kiriko. A lot of people were expecting to see an old school character, including
that wouldn't be a bad way to do it. Like,
I don't know how much of a deliberate choice
newer,
it is.
Original cast newer.
Yeah.
Until they kind of meet in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah, at some point, the what we call newer now are going to be old cast because, there's going to be three new heroes every year. So,
that's very true.
Yeah. I've seen some people point.
But the other thing is that they have less skins in general, so I don't mind too much.
That's true.
Just through virtue of having not been out as long.
Yeah,
you know, you flick through their skin selection and it's so tiny in comparison to somebody like Mercy, who's been in the game since the very beginning.
Especially with Kiriko and the Junker Queen, I feel like they... Ramattra seems to be different. Ramattra has some really spectacular and beautiful skins. But both the Junker Queen and Kiriko, they definitely are lacking some... some of their skins that...
I mean, some of Kiriko's, like... gold skins just look like recolors of her blue skins, and it's
I've only been using the one that we got from season one, the legendary one, Cyberpunk one. That's the only one I've been using for Kiriko. For the Junker Queen, what am I using? Oh yeah, of course, for the Junker Queen I'm using the black metal skin. That's not going to change anything soon.
And it's all you will ever use.
Yep. The problem is that the Junker Queen is still very how do you say that, like, as a tank, you still kind of need to find the correct setup to use her.
Yeah.
So she's still very circumstantial. She's not the tank for every fight. So,
No, but you get a good Junker Queen. Holy shit.
Yeah, no. There are some people that can make her work in any circumstance, but still. I don't know.
Oh my god.
She's easy
she
to
hurts
counter
so
them.
Much. For a tank, she does so much.
I think my go-to tank right now, I've been playing more Reinhardt, which is good, but Sigma is feeling really good for me right now. He is he's on top of stuff. He's really good.
You vibe in with Sigma.
Yep. Yeah, he's right now, he's kind of what Reinhardt should be, like that. Okay, well, who am I going to play? If you don't know what the enemy team has, let's start out with Sigma. Let's start out with the broad spectrum tank.
Yeah.
Reinhardt currently, I don't know. Maybe I still need to get
they buff Sigma's rocks? I feel like they really hurt at the moment.
They do hurt. If you hit a rock, I've obliterated supports with one single throw of a rock.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if they buffed them, not to our knowledge, but...
Or if people just learned how to use it.
I mean, a lot of the other characters have become, like, a Widowmaker became a lot more squishy. Like, you can take out a Widowmaker pretty easy now. If you can reach her, that is the caveat here, that you need to reach her. But if you can,
because you know she's not going to be anywhere near the point. Oh,
yeah, and she, I mean, she's a bit of a grapple hook. She's very mobile. At one point, you kind of have her cornered, and she's gone. Luck playing her. But anyways, I mean, it's been a good start of the season. Up till now, I'm quite happy with season three. Let's see where it takes us in the next 8 weeks. And what these events are going to be like, what that is going to bring to the table. And you know that we are the Overwatch community. So in, let's say, 6 weeks, we'll start talking about season four and wondering what the content for that season is going to be, because that's the way we roll. Impatient. We'll get there. First, let's enjoy the content for season three. All right, guys, I think that's about it for today.
Yeah.
I think it's time for... LP to get back into his truck and honk at people randomly.
And then come
drive off into the sunset.
Drive off the sunset. Yeah. I mean, you still have some time. You need to get ready for your Super Bowl day, man.
Yeah, crazy plans. Super Bowl party. I'm just going to a friend's house. I'm going to bring over a couple of tortilla chips and yeah.
Oh, look at that. With some, wait, what was it again? What was cheese again?
Queso.
Queso. Queso. Yeah, queso. Which is like Dutch for cheese is kaas, so it's kind of close. Queso.
Yeah, queso.
You should have remembered
that. I think queso is Spanish, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
Is that with a C or a K?
Q.
With a Q.
Look at that. With a C
better.
Or a K,
U.
With a Q.
Q-U-E-S-O.
Look at that.
Thank you very much.
And Hannah, you have D&D tonight? Raid?
No, I've got Raid tonight.
All right. Enjoy your raid.
I really want to finish the bloody tier, but there you go.
And I'll be editing some more videos. Hannah, tell these good people where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at plushnoodle.
There we go, LP.
You can find me at LancePons on Twitter, Instagram, and you can find me. Yeah, you can find me on TikTok as well.
Yeah. You can find me as DamesysTV on all those same platforms. The Omnic Post for all your updates on Overwatch. And the Omnic Weekly, if you want to be updated on any new episode coming out. But the best way to do that is just by making sure you're subscribing on whatever platform that you're listening to this podcast. We might be expanding that. We don't know yet. We're looking into it. But make sure to subscribe. And maybe leave us a comment. We love reading those. But we'll be back with a new episode next week. Till then, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Welcome to the Omnic Weekly.